So Sophia, my daughter, has a little Alexa device in her room that she can use to like listen to music and set alarms and things like that. But she has figured out that she can set reminders on it.
Okay.
And so, you know, Alexa does not always hear her correctly, and Sophia does not always speak perfectly clearly either.
Sure.
So it's a conflict of situations. But so I also get these notifications of what her reminders are. And this morning, the reminder that came on my phone was, like to color, decide with your actions. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with that.
Okay, well, there's some interesting questions here. First off, do you need a reminder to color?
I don't know. To like to color? I need to be reminded I like to color.
Yeah.
But you also need to decide with your actions.
Sure, so. I get it. Sometimes you need to be reminded you like doing the things you like.
Right. It's hard being nine. What can I say?
Sure. I decide with action, too. I mean, I guess, you know, look, she's making a decisive decision. Right?
I hope so.
You
know,
like,
yeah.
Coloring is not being thrust upon her. She is choosing to color.
That's right. Yeah. I will color upon you. You will not color upon me.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, so it's Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
Great. No Elise McCarter.
None. Get out of here.
And we're in the midst of VBS week.
Woo!
Yeah, so it's hectic here at Mortal Life.
Good chaos.
Good chaos. So this may not be as long as some other episodes we've
done. It might not be. See.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe we have a great conversation.
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe we've got a lot to say.
We'll be just as surprised as you.
If we have great conversation, we'll be surprised.
Yeah, last week we were in Nashville.
We were.
For a youth mission trip.
And for CMA Fest, obviously.
And,
that's,
yeah, we were
that's
also
why we were there.
Same time, yeah. We got to kind of go.
An unknown coincidence that we were
Friday
going
during
to
the day, we went to the CMA Fest.
That's right.
It was still kind of popping.
It was. There was a lot, you know, big crowd, lots of stuff happening.
We saw some live music.
Yeah.
Did some line dancing.
We did. Did
wrote,
the things.
I rode a mechanical bull.
And had a terrible experience.
Do not recommend. The idea of it is far better than actually doing it. I will tell you that.
Would you prefer to ride a real bull?
No.
Okay.
I'm too old for that now. Like the risk of hurt is just so high.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's very dangerous.
So I'm not interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bull riding, not in your future. Not on the bucket list.
And the mechanical bull, which I only rode for a minute and a half-ish, was so painful. Like, I have deep bruises from it.
Okay.
Yeah, do not recommend.
I don't think we need to go into any more detail on the podcast. We can.
Yeah, sure. That was a road trip, though. We drove
we
to
did.
Nashville.
That was quite an experience.
Yeah, 12 hours straight back, too.
That was a rough drive back.
That was,
The hour and a half rainstorm deluge did not make that easier.
No.
That was tough.
Yeah, and all my kids in my van fell asleep, so.
Love that. During the rainstorm?
During the ride back.
Excellent.
So, but we've flown in the past.
Yeah.
But without major hiccup, our flights.
Yeah.
But I got a flight story here.
Okay.
This one sounds pretty rough. This is from Condor Air.
Condor.
Yeah, that's a European airlines.
Okay.
And they were.
I don't think they're part of my Star Alliance, so I don't know.
Probably not. They're flying from Zurich, Switzerland to Crete, Greece.
Okay. I am familiar that both of those places exist. That's good.
Me too. Yeah. How far do you think that would be?
Zurich, Switzerland to Crete, Greece. I'm guessing maybe a 2-hour flight.
Yeah, that doesn't even that far.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a couple hours.
I mean, nothing in Europe can be that far apart, right?
Yeah, it's tiny.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in Texas. Come on.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you put Texas over the overlay of Europe, it covers quite a lot of the landmass.
Well, it depends on which part of Europe. I mean, because I think Texas is like the size of France, isn't it?
I think it's bigger.
It's bigger than France? Okay. Yeah. You keep talking about your thing. I'm going to look this up.
Okay. Well, anyway. Well, they left. It's a 3-hour flight. Less than 3 hours.
Right. Okay.
And because of weather, it ended up taking 32 hours.
A 3-hour flight took 32 hours?
They landed 5 times. They took off, landed, took off again, landed again. 5.
At the same airport?
No, different airport. Several times. It took 32 hours.
So every time they landed, they were at a different airport.
And they ended up back in Switzerland.
Oh, my God. So a 3-hour flight, that would be like flying from here to like Michigan, basically.
Maybe even,
I mean, I've flown to Michigan, so I can tell you that's a 3-hour flight.
3-hour flight, yeah.
So I could drive to Michigan in 32 hours. Like, this is insanity.
I mean, Crete is an island, though, so that'd be tough to drive to.
Fair, still.
Strong winds, they, you know, taking off, it says a limited extent, their flight departure and landing, and they were unable to do it.
Okay.
They had diverted several times before finally just ending up back in Zurich.
Wow, that sounds awful.
and it circled Crete half a dozen times before just abandoning.
Game over. That is miserable. I do not want to be on that flight. At some point in the 32 hours, you'd be like, I'm done. Like, I'm quitting.
Let me off the plane.
Send me anywhere else.
Don't worry. Refreshments and drinks were served for all.
Oh, good.
I'm going to need more than a refreshment and a drink.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, you can't control the weather.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to be like,
Stop this. Just stop the insanity.
This is not happening.
I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over. So at some point, they should have said, like, no, we got to do this differently.
And I feel like drinks is kind of a given at this point.
Sure.
Unless you're flying Spirit or Frontier, you know, right. One of those airlines.
Which, like, maybe this is like the Spirit of Europe.
Condor is, yeah. I feel, yeah, drink is just like, you're getting drinks.
I should get a drink, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I did some Googling here, and Texas would cover all of France, parts of Germany, parts of Italy, and like kind of, yeah, so that kind of central region would all be pretty well covered by Texas.
Yeah, so.
It would easily cover over top of Switzerland
to Crete.
Crete, if it were aligned correctly.
Yeah, yeah, sure. You got to get the panhandle and the valley together, you know, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so it could be from Amarillo down to Brownsville.
Absolutely. Yes. That sounds about right.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Thankfully, this has never happened on a youth trip. Maybe you're going to Egypt, so maybe it'll happen to you.
Oh, there's an option. There's something to look forward to. We're not flying to Crete or Switzerland, so that helps.
Egypt's near. It's close by.
It is.
Relatively close to Crete.
Yeah. It's not an island, though.
It's not an island. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And we're not flying on Condor Air, so
yeah,
that gives me faith. Come on, Turkish Airlines.
The Turks know what they're doing.
Oh, they did last time. They did all right.
Well, I know what I would do if you're hungry.
What? Is that a turkey joke?
Next to Hungary.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going for like an Istanbul, not Constantinople kind of thing here.
They don't even know the name of their own city. So.
I think we don't know the name of their own city. I think it's the problem.
That's fair. All right. Let's get back into Relevant here, our friends.
Okay. What do we got, Relevant?
They always do this. John Taylor. They put the white text over a white image.
Well, that's dumb.
And expect my eyes to be able to see what that means. I'm like, the eyes aren't what they used to be already.
I mean, white on white's hard to read even with good eyes. I don't think that's necessarily
it
your
is
fault.
Not seems easy. Like poor I gotta page zoom design. In. Yeah. All right. The fine line between walking in faith and avoiding responsibility.
Ooh.
Okay.
Which side of that line are we trying to fall on? Are we trying to?
I assume walking in faith.
Oh, okay. All right. Just wanted to be clear.
But okay. We'll see. John is going to make his case. That there is a line between walking in faith and avoiding responsibility.
I think that's fair. Let's hear what he's got.
Okay. A friend of mine has been talking about moving for 2 years. Every time we get together, he says the same thing. He's praying about it, waiting on clarity, trusting that God will open the right door. But in the meantime, he hasn't updated his resume, researched places to live, or even considered putting out feelers for a new job. Uh-huh. He's just waiting. At some point, I had to ask him, are you waiting for God, or are you just afraid to make a decision?
Sure.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, this sounds like afraid to make a decision. Yeah.
And I mean, I've had friends do this. I've done this at points. Yeah. I don't know that I've quite gone to the extent of like, I'm praying about it. I've just avoided decisions. I don't usually cast my blame on God.
Yeah. And he says, this is Johnny. To be fair, it's not always easy to tell the difference. Christianity is built on faith. We trust a God we can't see, follow a plan we don't always understand, and believe in outcomes we can't control. But there's a fine line between trusting a God and using faith as an excuse to dodge responsibility.
I think that's fair.
I think so, too. I think part of this is, I don't know if we've talked about this podcast, but I think some parts of Christianity, and maybe even sometimes ourselves, have a misconstrued view of like what God's plan for your life actually is.
Yeah.
And then the assumption is like the goal is like to align yourself with God's plan and then your life is going to get better and every door you're hoping is opened is opened, or at least like a new door that you didn't even know existed is going to open and it's going to be even better than you ever thought imaginable if you're aligned with God's plan.
Sure.
And I have heard this at youth conferences and maybe even kind of said similar stuff to teenagers. And as I've gotten older, I would definitely say like, I just don't think that that is accurate.
Mm. Say more about why you don't feel like that's accurate. I mean, I'm with you. I'm just curious. But you're...
So I think it's because we forget how to read the Bible.
Mm.
And so we read sometimes and then, you know, some verses there like God, you know, God has a plan for you and a hope for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that means me.
Right.
You know, like, obviously, I'm the main character of the story. God obviously. Is talking to me.
Yep.
And he writes, like, in Jeremiah 20:11, like, I know the plans I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it's supposed to be. And then when you actually read the Bible and you realize something, that you is Israel
mm-hmm.
and not an individual person or even
yeah.
individuals within Israel.
Yeah, it's the plural. It's yeah.
Yeah, it's y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And the y'all is all of Israel. And mm-hmm. that just means, like, Israel is part of what God is doing in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily mean every individual within Israel is going to have doors open for them that they did not think were possible.
Yeah.
In fact, many of them will have no doors open for them.
Yeah.
And this is speaking that Jeremiah 29:11 is speaking to them at a time where they're about to go into exile and in Babylon, and they will all die.
Mm-hmm.
And a new Israel is coming back. And
yeah.
that's the plan, is a new Israel will be returning back over here. And so if you're thinking, like, God has a plan for me, and you're dragged off into Babylon and then you die there, that plan sucks. Like God, let's go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Yeah. This plan is not very fun.
Yeah.
And I do not like it.
Can I choose option B?
Yeah. Like, so, but that's not what God is saying.
Yeah.
You know, God is, the plan is for Israel and
yeah.
ultimately humanity.
Yeah.
Not for, you know, John Q Israelite.
Sure. John.
His name.
Okay. John Q Israelite.
Yeah.
I think that's really helpful. I think maybe let's back up even just a little bit further and think, okay, so God has a plan for you broadly, nation of Israel and humanity. Does God have a plan for me?
Yeah. And so
I think that's a question we can, like, does that exist? Does God have a plan for me?
And I think for me, I would say yes, but
okay.
it's not what you think.
Sure.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
And that plan...
It's to go to Babylon and
it's
die.
To go to Babylon and die. It's to be rerouted for 32 hours on Condor Airlines. Your whole life has been building for this moment.
This is it.
I don't think necessarily that plan is who you're going to marry, where you're going to work,
mm-hmm,
what
mm-hmm.
your career looks like, those decisions. I just don't think that that is the case. Now,
yeah.
I think God is intimately involved in all of our decision making.
Yeah.
He's present in all of our lives.
Yeah.
But I think the plan that I see as outlined in the Bible is the plan is you have a connection to a creator
mm-hmm.
through Jesus, and ultimately that is guiding you
yeah.
to making this world look more like the next world
mm-hmm.
and then leading you ultimately into that next world.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Now, who you marry, what, how many kids you have, where you work are not, that's not the plan. Like that is all important pieces. And I think you should be concerned about each of those things and pray through all those decisions. But that's not the plan that God has for you.
Is it safe to say when you say it's not the part, not the plan that God has for you, it's like God does not have a partner out there in the world, and you just have to, like, sift through all of it until you find the right one?
I sincerely doubt it.
Right. But if you're, you know, considering a lifelong partnership with someone,
yeah,
involving God in that process, praying about that process, discerning that process,
yeah.
will probably be beneficial for you, right? Like,
sure.
You know, and, you know, you could potentially be with any one of five different partners and be praying about it, and maybe any one of those five different partners could all have wonderful and meaningful relationships with you in the long
Absolutely.
Term.
Absolutely.
But involving God in that process, Matt, right? You know,
yeah.
choosing a job, involving God in that process matters.
Absolutely.
Right? You know,
yeah.
God may not intend for you to go and work as a lawyer for the mob. Like, maybe that's not what God wants you to do.
Probably not.
I don't know. but that doesn't mean that God is automatically calling you to ministry either, right? Like, there are other
yeah.
faithful jobs that you can choose and serve, and you could be faithful in any number of jobs. But then again, right, discerning.
Yeah.
How is God calling me into this space and at this time?
For sure.
So involving God in the process, but not assuming that God has one thing picked out for you and that's the thing that you have to do.
Correct.
Yeah, I hear that.
Because, I mean, like, we can recognize, like, in our lives, like, minute decisions lead us in wildly different possibilities from,
yeah.
like, I chose to work at a summer camp one summer, and that led in a completely, you know, different decision than had I gone somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, wildly different. Not even like it would have eventually converged on one thing or another. And also, I think we recognize, like, okay, so if God, if you want to, you know, think God is this one person picked out for everybody, what happens when two people marry somebody they're not supposed to actually marry?
Yeah.
Either God is forcing your hand, mm-hmm. or if two people are like, hey, you know what, for whatever reason, they get married to somebody they're not, that's not part of the plan. What about their supposed planned partners?
Yeah.
What happens to them? They're going to probably get married, and now everybody's plan eventually is broken.
Yeah.
You know, or not mine, obviously, because my relationship
my plan's
is
perfect.
Special.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, me and my wife got to, you know, figured it all out.
We're fine. Yeah.
I don't know about everybody else out there. But I just don't really see, like, that in Scripture. I just don't really see that as, like, presented to us. I think it's nice to think through that God has a plan, and I need to wait on God to, like, align myself with that plan.
Yeah,
but it's just not there. And I think the reality is too, like, tragedy happens
sure.
instantaneously.
Sure.
And that's not, it is a growth, but I don't necessarily think, like, God is wishing for us to have cancer.
Yeah. One of the ways I often help people try to think about this is not to say, like, I don't believe God causes a particular thing to happen, but how is God present in the midst of this thing? And right. And so, and, you know, people will tell the story of, oh, I had cancer, and that gave me a chance to reconcile with my sibling and so I'm so thankful that I had this opportunity to be in a better relationship with them. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a good story. I'm glad that that's true. I don't think God caused your cancer in order to bring that about.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the midst of this horrible thing that happened to you, God presented an opportunity for you to reconcile,
sure.
and you were open to that because of your state of mind, your state of faith, or whatever that was. All good things. So how is God present in the midst of something rather than the cause of that thing?
Sure.
And I think that's helpful for me when I'm making decisions too, right? God is present with me in the midst of my making these decisions and discerning what's right for myself, for my family, for my future, etc. But God is not necessarily causing one thing or another to come about. So the faithfulness then, if we're getting back to the original point, right? The faithfulness is in the discernment and in
yeah.
the walking with God.
All right, so let's get back into our article. Pass
okay.
the question.
John, what do we got?
Yeah. So I think the question is, like, what's the difference between waiting on the Lord and doing nothing?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, if somebody asks you that, here, Pastor,
mm-hmm.
what's the difference? What are your answers? What would you say?
Yeah, so I think waiting on the Lord, I think, gives us space to pray and discern, but take action on our own, right? Like, when we hear people waiting on the Lord in Scripture, there's still ways in which they are responsible and acting and moving forward. I think avoiding responsibility, what was the other, I want to make sure I say it correctly, waiting on the Lord or?
Doing nothing,
yeah. So doing nothing, right? So I think you can be really passive in prayer,
yeah.
where you're just saying, okay, God, I'm lifting this up to you, but then not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think that's our call either. I mean, you've shared that story about the person you know who was going to be a missionary, but then was not doing anything to, like, actually have that happen, right? And
yes.
Right, I think that's being passive and doing nothing. That's not, like, God is not just going to suddenly say, like, here's a magic $1 million that allows you to go and be a missionary somewhere. Like, you have to be thinking about it. I'll use my own example. When I was discerning what seminary I was going to attend, I was debating between a couple of different schools. And, you know, we all probably have done this in various ways, whether it's seminary or not, right? Trying to choose where we're going to go. I can't just sit there and say, okay, here are the three schools. I'm just going to wait until magically one of them reveals themselves as the right. I had to go and visit the school. I had to talk to students. I had to talk about financial packages. I had to think about, what is my financial position? You know, what's the school going to allow me to do? What's the school going to, what opportunities is it going to give me? How's it going to prepare me for what I want to do? Is it going to prepare me for the thing that I want to do? Or is it preparing me for something else, right? All of that is part of the process. And God is at work with me in all of that for me to discern where I'm going and what I'm doing next.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that these are perfect examples and a great answer to that. I think, you know, it's just so easy to feel like, well, I should be waiting on the Lord, because that's a thing that's in the Bible.
It's
like,
is.
Wait on the Lord is,
yes.
is like a real thing that God shows up for the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that's using the people of God, not
yeah.
necessarily individuals of God.
Right.
But But there are real questions of like, how does one wait well?
Yeah.
Is a challenge. And I think that these are good examples of this, of like, well, you have to pray and you also have to take some action to figure it out. It's not enough to say like, God, I am dissatisfied with my job and I'm dissatisfied with my career choices and I'm praying for you to open up a door or reveal something that is going to be there and then watch TV.
Yeah.
That's not waiting on the Lord. Like, waiting on the Lord is saying, like, I'm doing these steps and I hope that a path or a good thing is revealed to me in a unique or way that I can say, like, I see doing this will bring me closer to what God desires for this world. I can see that.
Yeah.
And that is not like, well, I prayed about it. What am I supposed to do now? Mm-hmm. Like, what else am I supposed to do? And I think we can get there. And then I think we also can get into the idea of like, if we pray about it and we're supposed to be waiting on the Lord and then we start making actions and doing these things, the idea, and he kind of mentioned this here, and I think this is in some Christian circles, I'm not saying in lower life, that might be said like, well, you're getting ahead of God. Mm. You're forcing God's hand kind of a thing. You're striving instead of following, you know? Mm-hmm. And what would you say to that?
I think there are times in which we do that. I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but I think that too has to come at a level of discernment, right? I don't think that taking actions to get information and to make an informed decision about something is forcing God's hand or put. I think that's using the resources that God is putting in your midst, right?
Yeah.
Trusting that as you have those conversations about whatever decision you're trying to make, that God is in the midst of those conversations and that you're listening for God in the midst of those conversations, not to discern the one right path, but to discern how is God going to be present with me in any of these? And is that what I'm feeling called to? And so, yeah, if I go in with the mindset of, okay, I'm gonna make this decision, but I'm gonna go through the pro forma of praying about it and having these conversations and doing that kind of offhand, then I'm putting myself before God and I'm
like I already made the decision
right. And
now I'm praying that God makes it the right decision.
Right.
You know, like I think that is not what this is supposed to look like.
Correct.
And then the last way that John here outlines is that we kind of say we're waiting and we're trusting in God, but really it's just because we're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's waiting for a sign is far easier than like stepping out and saying like, maybe this was a mistake.
Yeah.
And ultimately we could be waiting for a sign indefinitely. And I don't necessarily think God is going to give you a sign about what job you should take or whom you should marry or where you should move. I just don't know if God is going to do that.
Yeah, well,
maybe God is.
Yeah.
I just don't, putting all your chips on that might not be a great decision.
Yeah. Well, I think if your theology is built around, I have to follow the one right plan that God has for me.
Yeah.
Then I understand the paralysis of having to make this decision and waiting for God to reveal the right plan. Because if I make the wrong plan, then I'm not out of alignment with God. And if I'm out of alignment with God, then, the whole universe is thrown off, right? And so if that's where your faith and your theology is built, I understand the fear. But I think that if we start from a place of God already loves us, already cares for us.
Yeah.
And God is going to work through us in innumerable ways that we can only begin to imagine, regardless of our own faults and failures. God is going to work through you.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a lot more freedom to take that risk to say, I'm going to try that. This is what Martin Luther talks when he says, we should be sinning boldly, right? Like, you're going to make mistakes, but if you do it boldly with an attempt to love the Lord, it's going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
It's not about like go out and just like murder people because, you're so bold in your sin, right?
Yeah.
It's like go out and know, I'm trying to love Jesus. I'm going to make mistakes in the process, but I'm trying to love Jesus, and I'm going to do that with everything I've got.
Sure. Yeah. Mistake boldly.
Yeah. Mistake boldly.
Yeah. Or risk boldly.
Yeah. Don't murder boldly. Don't do that.
That's sure. Well, look, you get one.
We get one.
Whoopsie. You get one accident, one murder, and you can be like, that's your one.
Okay. We're just going to leave that one alone. I don't even know where to go with that.
I think that's what God says. I'm waiting to catch it.
It's in the Bible. It's fine.
I'm waiting for it. Yep.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Hold on to it. Hold tight.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely the question. I think that we have to start asking ourselves. If we're putting on, I'm waiting on God, or I'm waiting for a sign, or I'm waiting these things, I think oftentimes it could be like, I just don't want to make a decision, or it is scary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared I'm making the wrong decision, and sure. that means I make no decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks, you know, a good question. You're like, all right, is there an action you can take right now that you're hesitating on while you're waiting? Like, and maybe that's a good thing. Like, okay, I'm waiting for this new career, this new job opening up. What can I do right now? And it doesn't mean I'm marching into a job, you know, and saying, give me a job. But it's saying, yeah. what is the one thing you can do right now that's within your grasp? I think if you're like, if you're single and you're like, I want to get married and I want that special person or God to reveal them to me. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But if you think that's what's going to happen, and the question is, well, what can you do right now? Like, what can you do today? Because that might mean that, you know, improving oneself.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean going to a therapist to figure out, you know, how do you step into a relationship better? It might mean making sure you're ready to be in a relationship by taking responsibility for things you don't want to take responsibility of. Like, if you're, you know, a 22-year-old dude and you're like, all I want to do is sit around playing video games. Do you actually want to be married? Because, like, you know, like, that's going to change.
Well, yeah, because I want somebody else to take care of me while I sit around and play video games.
So. Sure, yeah. And that's why I got married. Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks, babe.
You're the best.
Yeah. If you could order pizza tonight, that'd be great.
And the wings. Don't forget the wings.
Yeah, don't forget the wings, yeah. First, that's a given. But I do think that this is good questions.
Yeah.
So, again, personally, I just don't see in scripture or in life like the God has a plan for you. But I do think God is actively engaged in this world and with you.
Yes.
But it's how am I making this world look more like heaven today?
Yeah.
And how am I pointing myself to following Jesus today? And like you said, I'm not going to get it right. In some ways, I'm not even sure I'm going in the right direction.
Yeah.
But at least I'm stepping out saying, I think this is making this world more like heaven today.
Yeah.
And I can be a part of that some way.
Yeah.
And I think that is the plan that God has for humanity, for the church, and for you as an individual, that we bring about the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
It's not a future heaven. It's a present one, too. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When we launched into this topic, I was expecting John to go a very different direction.
Okay.
John went very personal with this. And I was really expecting this to be more of like a, how do we claim that we're walking in faith, but shirk responsibility for like really important big issues in the world.
Sure.
But like, oh, I'm walking in faith, so I can't address that particular thing.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
And so it's interesting that there are different ways that you can take this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, well, one of the things we got to do in Nashville is go to the Civil Rights Museum, and it was incredible to walk around and read stories and see some powerful things of people who walked in faith, waited on the Lord, and also acted diligently, and sometimes sacrificing everything to bring about a world that looks more like the kingdom of God.
Yeah. One of the things that struck me most about the Civil Rights Museum and just the stories that we were hearing around that is how both sides of that argument were claiming to be walking in faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, like the wrestling that we constantly have to be doing. Like, where are we walking in faith because we don't want to have to take up the responsibility of dealing with something really hard? And where are we walking in faith because we're being called into something really hard?
Yeah.
And I think more often than not, walking in faith involves us being called into something hard rather than not.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't point to a place in scripture where walking faith resulted in somebody like taking the easy way.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, like I started, you know, I got a faith in Jesus or faith in God or faith in Yahweh.
Yeah.
And my life became just so easy.
Yeah. I can't think of a story where that happens in scripture. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess Lazarus gets brought back from the dead. We don't really know what happens to him after that. Maybe it's all gravy after that.
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, I mean, like, you know, look at the disciples. They start following Jesus, and at least according to our tradition, all but one are martyred in one way or another, right? Sure. Like,
In scripture, several we know of, according to the book of Acts, are martyred. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Even outside of that, and like, you know, Jesus himself remains faithful and ends up on a cross, right? I mean, throughout the Old Testament, leaders are faithful and end up killed or exiled or whatever else. Like, it's just God isn't calling people to the easy path.
Sure.
Ever. God promises to make the path easy. God doesn't call you to an easy path. I guess it would be how I'd talk about the scripture a little bit there.
Agreed. God never calls us to suburbia, even if we live in suburbia.
Yeah. But if we live in suburbia, you know, maybe God is, you know, calling us to do something in that space.
Agreed. 100%. It's more of like a mindset. God is never calling us to just like live and exist. It's always to bring about, how can this world look more like the kingdom of heaven today?
Yeah. So don't shirk your responsibility.
Yeah.
Be faithful.
There you go.
Do real stuff.
All right.
Anything else today?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, hey, friends. I think this was pretty good. Yeah. Good conversation. Thanks for everything that you're doing out there. If you've got a question or a way that you think you're shirking your responsibility, no, that's not good. Let's say, how are you walking in faith? That's a better question. What's a way that you're walking in faith? You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Oh, if you see me, too, at church or whatever.
Yeah?
We've got a lot of magic tricks now. Every day I do magic tricks for the VBS kids.
It's true. He's got quite a store. He's becoming quite... Do you have a magic name? Are you like Patrick the Great? Or?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I'll have to brainstorm my magical name.
But, yeah.
A lot of street magic for the VBS kids.
Sure.
And I can impress a six-year-old pretty good.
You got it.
So,
you know, if there's one thing you can do in this life, Patrick, it's impress six-year-olds. So good for you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.